welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. This is the fourth installment of our series on universal law, and the topic today is the sacred law of change. We're especially blessed today because our beloved Universal Mother Mary will be joining us to offer guidance on this fourth law. Change is something we all respond to differently, and right now on Earth, change is all around us in the most profound of ways. This can bring up fear for some and excitement for others, but change is indeed inevitable. The Council of Love tells us that this law speaks to movement and action. As we settle into our innate roles as creator beings, the world around us will be in a constant state of flux, and it's going to be vital that we learn to embrace change for the blessing that it is. Feel free to join us with your questions and comments by calling 323-784-9697 and press 1 so I know you'd like to come on the air with us. We'll continue taking callers by area codes. When we're ready to start doing that, I'll say your area code and bring you on the air. This is an exciting topic for me because I really always love change. Leaving a job has always been especially thing for me, but I'm certain that there are many reasons to be excited about change beyond simply looking forward to something better. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie. Thanks. thanks for having me.
Oh, wow, gosh,
thanks,
it's always
everybody,
my pleasure.
Everybody for tuning in.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, change is a biggie. Change is going to be, you know, it is. It's a constant, and it's who we really are. Nothing ever remains static. And although we look for signs of change and we hope for changes, that we sometimes forget that it's all around us, and it is in constant movement. So. That'll be in a very interesting conversation.
Yeah, it will be. I have a perception that change is a great thing because so far in my experience, it seems that the potential for moving into something better is always present. But there's, you know, I mean, my daughter is one who fears change, and it's so different from my view, but I can understand that it's the unknown factor that makes it scary. So, you know, it could be that, you know, a good bit of the collective is in fear of change, and the other part of the collective is in a conflicting position to change, and we're pulling in different things, so that should be interesting.
Well, it's that old saying, better the devil you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is, people very often will stay in less than ideal circumstances or situations. Simply because of that fear factor.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
When we begin to look at change as in sort of a slightly different way, when we begin to look at it as who we are in a state of being, that every second, every breath is bringing about change, then we begin to shift and really understand that change is really about not just movement, but about being in the flow.
Right, right.
It's inevitable.
It is inevitable.
If we're going to create, we might as well create and work with change in terms of ways that are helpful rather than fighting the current to go with it.
Right. And it's also, you know, there's also a factor of, you know, self-care. What do you want for your life? And I'm speaking mostly to relationships at this point. I know that there's plenty of people who remain in relationships because it's comfortable, or there's a lot of fear about, well, what happens if I leave this relationship? Or, you know, where will I be? Will I be out on the street? Will anybody love me? And that kind of thing. And, you know, once we have the understanding that we'll be taken care of no matter what decision we make, and we'll have the experiences that we, you know, chose on some level to have, it's just going to be fine. But it's kind of hard for us to slip into that little understanding.
And it can be scary, and it's not only, will anybody love me? It's, will anybody ever love me ever?
Mm.
Ever again in my whole life?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the magnitude of it is really can be very frightening. It's the same thing of staying in a job that you actually despise and
right.
that isn't rewarding to you at all, but you feel and, well, practicality that you know you need that paycheck in order to meet your responsibilities, support your family, support yourself, keep a roof over your head. One of the most terrifying things I've ever done and the most liberating has been to just jump into that unknown, quitting a job that was certainly less than satisfactory or against my principles, with having nothing lined up.
So
it can be exhilarating and it can be terrifying.
Yes, well, that's true, and both can be true at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I think some people, like the kind of people that, you know, climb Mount Everest and things like that, I wonder if they're facing the same kind of thing of, I want to do this for the exhilaration of it, but it also scares me, and I'm doing it specifically because it scares me. And facing fear can be a very empowering thing. Absolutely it is, in fact.
Facing fear and turning that obstacle into a helper or a colleague or a guide is very powerful.
Yeah.
And if you continue to run away from it, then the monster just continues to grow and get uglier and more threatening. But when you stop and you really look at it, then you begin to realize that fear is just really bringing your attention to something.
Yeah, that's true. And as you say that, thinking of a feeling or a thought as a companion, it brings me to what Sanat Kumara said last week about crystals being an other, you know, when the whole thing of when two or more are gathered in my name and whatever, I would have thought that if it was me and a crystal, it's just me.
Yeah,
but it's
so
not.
When there are, when I have crystals all over my house.
Yeah, me too.
And I have sacred objects all over my house.
Yes.
And they are definitely part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I
mm-hmm.
could no more part with my crystals and rocks than I could get rid of Eliza.
Oh,
they're
gosh.
Just, they're part of me. I remember when I first emigrated from Canada to the United States, I did most of my moving by UPS. And what did I ship? It was my crystals and my rocks. And I can remember the UPS guy coming day after day and saying, "What are in these boxes, rocks?" And I'd smile and say, "Yep." So, yeah, they are part of our environment, our family, our the sacred space that we create.
Yeah, that's true, the sacred space, exactly right. So I'm really fascinated by the idea that the Divine Mother wanted to step through for this one instead of Sanat Kumara. I know that basically it's a team and they're all very present, but I really love
this
another one.
Yes, but you know, the Universal Mother Mary, she often will identify herself, and I'm sure she will again today, as the mother of change and the mother of constancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the divine feminine energy, as the divine mother energy, she is movement. And that constant movement is very closely related to the law of change. So while we have that stillness and the still point within us, 99.9999% of the time, we are in the flow of movement and therefore change. This is especially true for, I think right now, all of us, but I know for myself, being on the Blu-ray, you know, we are communicators, throat, but we are also agents and angels of change.
Yeah.
We work with change. And that's one of the reasons we're here, is to help people work with cooperatively with change to find that balance Because change doesn't mean running around like a chicken with your head cut off. It means managing the change and invoking the law of change to assist us in our journey. So I'm thrilled that Mary is stepping forward. It's really a treat.
It is a very, very, very lovely treat, and it's about allowing rather than resisting, but also knowing what to trust, you know? Like, if we just open ourselves up, of course, we have to set our protective boundaries and all that sort of thing, but that's a question, too, that I have is, you know, is there even any possibility for dark things to, you know, to affect us? When we go into a state of meditation or whatever. I suppose that protection is always necessary, but I really wonder about that sometimes.
You know, I wonder about it too. Several years ago, the archangels, the mighty ones, and I think maybe even the Universal Mother Mary, told us that the need for protection was over.
Right.
But when I look out at the world and I see that there's so much chaos in the air, and yes, creative chaos is part of the change energy that
right.
we can and we do work with, but for myself, what I find is when I do my rituals of protection, then what it does to me, I mean, not only am I telling the universe, okay, get ready, I am entering a sacred space and I am doing a sacred ritual and I am preparing myself to both pray, meditate, receive, and I do that before every show, by the way. And in doing that, I think what I'm also doing is telling myself, my conscious, my subconscious, and my unconscious, my ego, I'm saying to all the pieces of Linda, okay, you're in a safe place, and you can let go and allow that inspiration, that information, those thoughts, those really deep heart desires. You know, we've been spending time the last few weeks talking about what's written on the walls of our hearts and what we really desire to bring forward.
Right.
And sometimes we don't let ourselves go deep enough to really see all of that if we don't feel that we're in a safe space. So what I do is I always post the mighty ones, the archangels, Mikael, Raphael, Uriel, Yophiel, and of course Gabriel, around the room. You can do it around your bed, you can do it around your house, but for example, when I'm doing my work, I always post them around the room. And then sometimes what happens is they come and they're standing directly, like today actually, directly in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that there's someone trying to get at me, but obviously for whatever reasons, maybe I need a little more reassurance. Maybe I need a little energy boost. So I always do it. I think it's just a beautiful practice.
Well, it is. And what I hear you saying is that it's not necessarily for the actual protection. It's for our perception of safety that we're doing that to be able to open our channel, to open and allow.
Yeah, so we can go.
Exactly. So yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Right.
And because I don't believe, and I'm sure some of our listeners would disagree, and I know that I'm lucky. I live in a very quiet little neighborhood in the suburbia of the United States of America, but I generally don't believe I live in a dangerous world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't just mean physically, I mean spiritually. I don't believe that there are dark forces out there trying to get Linda Dillon.
Right. Well, exactly. And I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing at those who feel that there are dark forces out to get them, because, you know, I can understand that there are plenty of people that do, and our perceptions are everything. So, you know, we really do create a reality.
Oh, and I think sometimes when we're in the fear place, that in fact it sends out that, like, you know, the red flag to the bull.
Yes,
that
light,
it attracts.
Light.
Attracts.
Yes.
Because, of course, energy will go where there's a vacuum.
Yeah, and also
if
like
there's a vacuum
life.
Because of fear,
right.
Rather than trust,
right.
Then, you know, it's part of what you're creating. And that's the thing that I hope with this series that we're going to get to really understand, that we are creating every single moment of every single day. And we're even creating when we're asleep. So when we're in those thoughts, oh, things aren't going well,
right.
Oh, things are going fabulously, that mm-hmm. in both of those thoughts we're creating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
that's
it's
true. Yeah, and yes, it's just wonderful being able to settle into the realization that we are creator beings. And, you know, we've certainly given ourselves plenty of evidence that we can do that. I mean, it's, well, anyway, is it a good time for meditation?
I think it's a great time for meditation.
Super. All right.
Oh, away we go.
Here we go.
So because we're working this morning with the Universal Mother, with our beloved Mother Mary, with Mare, let's begin by taking a nice deep breath of sparkly, brilliant blue diamond. And what does that color mean to you? Is it more like the blue sapphire or the blue topaz or turquoise? Or tanzanite, because the blue diamond is an entire ray. But whatever it is for you, make sure that it's glistening with a million facets of brilliant, sparkly light. So as we begin, relax. Relax your jaw. Relax your ears. Allow yourself and your ears and your heart to hear the messages of our Mother this day. Bring down those shoulders and feel the tension ease out of your neck. And feel your breathing slow a little as you're just breathing in the blue diamonds and breathing out through your mouth the tension, the debris, the cobwebs of the day, the week of life. And feel yourself settling in into your chair, onto the bed, the floor, wherever you are. Make sure you're comfortable and that you're giving yourself the gift of this time to think, to embrace not only love, but change. And breathe. And as we've learned, on the out-breath, go down deeper into your heart. Deeper and deeper. To the bottom of your heart and see once again that wonderful, bright pinprick of white light. And feel yourself moving towards it and flying through that portal of your beautiful sacred heart. Go ahead. And you find yourself within the chambers of your heart. And gazing at those beautiful golden walls, the walls upon which is written your sacred purpose and your intentions, the intentions of what you wish to bring forward, the creations that you desire, that are in accordance with the universal laws of above and below, within and without. Coming to this place of the chambers is always phenomenal. So just take a little minute once again, because there's always more information, always deeper understanding to be gleaned. So look at those symbols, those words, what you've written on the walls of your heart to remind you of who you are and what you desire for this lifetime. And breathe. Now find a little spot, a chair, a throne, a sofa, a pillow, within the chambers, and sit down. Relax. There is no safer place for you than the internal chambers of your heart. It is where your truth and your wholeness lives. So find a place for you. Today we think about and we address the universal law of change and the constancy of movement. And as in all things, the key is balance. But within your heart, within this quiet place, what are the things in your life at this time, this place, that you wish and desire to change? This exercise is for you. So while we have many desires on a global level for peace, be it in Syria or Iraq, Israel and Palestine, go deeper. And what is it? What is that one or two or three things that you would really like to change, not in some distant future, but right now? And it can be physical or emotional or mental or spiritual. Maybe it's a recurring thought pattern or an emotion of never feeling quite good enough. Maybe you would like to change and improve your health, but it's unique to you, and it's in this current time. It's not going back and fixing something from 20 years ago or something from tomorrow, but in this moment. Now with that knowing of what you choose and wish to change, sitting there in your spot, feel yourself invoke both Sanat Kumara and the Universal Mother. And communicate this desire to them and ask, yes, ask, that this change be implemented for you and with you right now. Now hold this request and this vision, this creation for change. Hold it in your heart, in the stillness. Now feel it drop down, as if it's running down a funnel out of your heart into your solar plexus. And with me, on the count of three, let us push it out of our solar plexus into the world. This change that you, in conjunction with the Mother and Raj, are choosing to bring forward. So drop it down to your solar plexus. There you go. And when we count three, you do an out-breath, a powerful out-breath. So one, two, three. Now come back into your heart and rest there. Greetings, I am Mary, Universal Mother, Mother of Love, Mother of Hope, and yes, beloved ones, Mother of Change, and Mother of Constancy, Continuity. And it is these three C's, Change, Constancy, and Continuity, that I wish to speak to you of this day. My beloved children, children of my heart, When I say that I have birthed each one of you, what do you think I mean? That I am somehow responsible? Yes, that is so. But it is more than that. You have moved and traveled and been expelled, birthed from my essence, from my core. And even in that birthing, dear heart, is the movement of love, the movement of energy into form eventually. For you did not start out in form. You simply started out as a spark of light, of love. And then the adventure began. And if you look at it over a very long, what you think of as time span, you can see the progression and the many changes that you, in conjunction with I and with your beloved guides and many consultants, have wrought. For you have been angels, some of you archangels, star beings, interplanetary beings. You have assumed many forms, rocks, trees, animals, humans, Pleiadians, Arcturians. You have always been in accordance with the law of change, the law of continuity, the law of constancy. For it incorporates all three of these aspects. The core of you, the essence, the very essence of who you are, does not change. It continues. It assumes different forms. It travels throughout the omniverse. But the core of your being is constant, and it is in constant movement, even throughout what you think of as this lifetime. You are in constant movement. Yes, there are times when you are in still point of creation, but also understand in the still point, there is still the movement of creation and of recreation. The essence of who you are continues throughout time and space. That is the law. That is the law of change. Constant movement. Consistency. And you remain in that movement until you actually return at the completion, the end of your journey, when you reunite with one. Now, does that mean that you do not have the ability for still point? No, because that is part of your spiritual genetic makeup as well. But even as you go to still point, when you hold this still point for 17 seconds, which is the amount of time in your realm that you hold for what we would think of as fertilization and actualization, So you think of gestation as 9 months. Well, in reality, when we are speaking of this, it is 17 seconds. But when you begin your 17 seconds of stillness, you are not the same person at the end of that 17 seconds. You have changed. Skin has changed. Hair follicles have changed. Aging has taken place. Restoration has taken place. Gaia has continued to spin on her axis. So you are never not in the flow of change. It simply is not possible. So even when you take the brief hiatus on the still point, you are still in the movement, because the energy of the universe continues to move. It moves with you, through you, around you. Your blood does not stop flowing. Your heart does not stop beating. And this, I wish to be very clear with you. This change of your breath, of your heart beating, of your blood flowing, this is my gift of infinite, eternal expansion. This constancy of change and the continuity within that is the gift of your eternal becoming. So what do you do with this law other than understand the obvious? You work with it. Because what is creation except the manipulation, and I mean that in the most positive of senses, it is the manipulation of particles, subatomic fibers, molecules, energy, into what you wish to experience. And dear hearts, let me be clear with you. The only thing that any of you, I do not care if it is 6, 7, or 8 billion, the only thing you wish to experience is love. That is it. Now, you may label it relationship, financial security, adventure, meaningful work, but really it is love. And what is love except the eternal flow, the constant changing flow of energy, not only between yourselves, not only between you and Gaia, but sweet angels, between you and I. There are many cords that have been broken by my sweet Michael with his sword, and he has assisted you magnificently, as he has assisted me in removing ties that bind you to illusion, ties that do not serve you, cords that simply imprison you. And he will continue to do so. Because, yes, in the effort in the human reality, even as you are anchored in the seventh, there are still some residual cords that you carry out of love and sometimes out of fear. But that is not the point of my conversation. There is one cord that cannot and will not ever be broken. Not by Michael, not by dark forces, not by you. And it is the infinity cord. It is the flow of energy between you and I. It is my love that I send freely and constantly to each and every one of your hearts. It is the infusion of my blue diamond. And yes, we have added to that with your pink and the Father's gold, so that your tri-flame is balanced. For I do not simply want you or desire to create a clone, although some of you are very much like your mother. But some of you are magnificently like your father as well. And then there are some of you who are so uniquely, distinctly yourself that you are celebrated above, below, and beyond. But this flow of love, this infinity of love, never stops. And inside that, as it comes to you, simply as life force, as inspiration, as ideas, as energy to keep you going. It is to create. And it is to create not in confusion, and certainly not in the old paradigms of the old third. It is to create and to co-create with us your ascension, your claiming as your position in service to the light, which is implied service to your sacred self, service to your sacred unions, plural, to me, to Father, Mother, One, to your guides, to your brothers, to your sisters, to your soul family, to your partner, to your children, to your community. That cannot stop. So when you think of this law of change, really what it is asking is what are you doing with every moment of your life? Am I keyed in to the infinite creation and expansion of the mother? Or am I hiding in the hole? Am I cowering in fear? Am I limiting myself? That time of being outside the law of change, of denying the law of change, is over. That is why I have stepped forward this day. You have all witnessed children who put their hands over their eyes and think, because they cannot see you, that you have disappeared. It is very sweet. But many of you have done this and thought, if I can't see it, then it will disappear and I will not have to deal with this constant change. The change, the constant change, is the gift, my beloved friends. It is the gift of infinite becoming, of such expansion that you would marvel. Now, you did not come to this earth or to this lifetime with limited capacities. You brought the totality of your mastery, the totality of your talents, your capacities, your capabilities, your abilities, anchored in your human form. Your mind, your heart, your body, your will. So the question is, with each moment, which is a brand new opportunity, what are you creating? Are you in that infinite flow? Have you accepted? And have you paid attention? Where are you in your cycle of creation? Are you in the formulation of inspiration and simply listening and dreaming, which is magnificent and playful and gleeful and fun? Or are you in the position or in the point in your cycle where you are planning and putting the pieces together? Are you in implementation? Are you in the action? Are you in the fulfillment and then starting to believe and think about what your next undertaking will be? And within each of these creations are a million small creations. Because in each moment, the energy is shifting, expanding, moving. The law of change is the law of movement. But the core of that energy and your energy is constant, and it continues until the time you return. And even in that merger, that re-emerger, there is movement. So the question isn't, do I like change? Do I embrace change? How do I manage change? It is a deeper acceptance and allowance. This is the law of the universe. What are the universal laws except what we have laid down to help you understand how things work? It is very simple. it is an acceptance. You do not, you cannot, it is not possible for you to exempt or divorce yourself from the process and the law of change. You can put your head in the sand. You can pretend, and some of you are very good at pretending. You have excelled at it. You can deny, but it does not change what is going on, and that is change. So let me show you. Let me help you. Not only with the acceptance, but invoking this law of change to work with it, to be in the flow, to be the constancy of creation, to be the mirror, not only of the Mother, Father, One, but the truth of who you are. Infinite, evolving. Do not think simply because you have arrived in the fifth dimension with Gaia that the journey is done. Dear heart, you have only started. And you are not limited to one dimension or another. Your playground is very large. Your palette is very large. The human realm. 12 dimensions, 12 levels within each of those dimensions, and then some fine-tuning. So let us begin. What do you wish to do with this change? Welcome it. And work with it. Understanding. You can say to me, things aren't flowing. Well, dear heart, that is simply not true. Things are constantly flowing. So what you are saying to me is things are not flowing in the way that I desire. And that is very different. Because then I ask you, stop. Yes, even though the energy continues flowing, stop, think, feel, and redirect yourself into that flow so that it can be working with you in ways that are harmonious and in keeping not just with our truth, but with yours. You are magnificent. You would not be here at this time of change, rapid change, if you were not up to it, if you were not fully prepared and competent. My trust in you knows no bounds, and my knowing of what you are capable of knows no bounds. So stop hesitating. Stop denial. And get into the flow, sweet angels. I am with you. Yes, my dear Suzanne. What do you have to say to me?
Oh, thank you, Mother, and welcome. It's a delight to have you on the air with us on this fine morning. Well, there's so much happening now at a rapid pace, and even so, there are many who aren't perceiving that much is changing for the better. So Even for the most steadfast among us, it could feel a bit discouraging when the vast majority of change is taking place below the surface. Every day brings new opportunity to practice trust and faith, and I'm wondering at what point the world will have unmistakable and undisputed evidence that we've left our old reality behind, beyond protesting in the streets.
One of the things that I would ask of you, because it does begin within each of you, and yes, there is a great deal of chaos and turmoil at the surface right now, because it has need to be eliminated, and that is part of the constant movement. So you can think of it in this way, the tide is in. But, dear heart, the tide will go out, and it will carry all that jetsam and flotsam that you are referring to, and it will be transmuted and changed into things of beauty. But one of the things that occurs, it is very easy. Do not forget, I have been in form at one point. And so I know what it is to be in the human element of upheaval. But what happens is you look to the larger world and you say, this is insanity. And I would suggest, particularly at this time when Michael has his work cut out for him, it does look like a great deal of insanity because it is not of love. It is of lack. It is lack of self-love and lack of self-worth and lack of understanding that the person across the aisle or across the planet is your brother or sister. So it is easy to become frozen in fear or frozen in overwhelm. But there is a very simple remedy to that. And it is each of you, every single day, creating. And that is why I have instructed Linda, channeled through her, for this meditation to create what your heart desires, the change that you need, desire, and want in this moment, this eternal moment of now. When you are involved in working with change and continuity, the expression of your divinity into form every day, then what happens is that ripple effect. So you say, wait a minute, I am an artist, and today my creation is the working with the change, is bringing into form on canvas or paper something that has never existed before. Never. And never will again. And it is an inspiration. It is a piece of beauty. No matter whether you are pleased with the final product or not, it is your expression and working in the flow. And you say, well, how? How does that change what is happening in Syria? Because you just brought forth, rather than being engaged in the drama, the hatred, the violence, the destruction, you made a choice to be a purveyor of beauty. Susie, you do this every day. And that action, that putting yourself into the stream of energy that is moving constantly. So do not think that the energy that you are putting out and that you are both putting out right in this moment on this radio show is not moving all the way to Syria, to Africa, to Russia, and back to the eastern seaboard, because it is. And it is as fast as that. It is not slow and laborious. So when you focus on what you may think are small things, but it is with consciousness, and it is with love, heart consciousness and love, not ego, then you are changing the planet. You just anchored more love, more beauty on the planet. And that creates the tipping point.
I love that. Well, okay, so there's something I'm curious about, something that was written recently. There was an article that said that archangels are in actuality
yes.
archons. And as soon as I got up to that part of the artfully crafted article, I quit reading because it just felt like a seed of fear planted among some known truths. The change we long for is happening all the time, yet many of us are vulnerable to such messages because of the longing in our hearts about what we've been promised, but that seems to always be just around the next corner. Could you please speak to that?
Yes. And I will tell you that for a moment, your question was not heard on this side, so I have read your heart instead.
Okay.
Now, there are those, sometimes with the purest intent, and sometimes with malintent, because you have ample evidence of your old third dimension, how powerful you individually and collectively are as creators. So we are not suggesting that there are not those among you whose primary creation is misinformation and the creation of fear, doubt, trepidation, and lack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you wish to partake of that energy?
No.
Absolutely not. You might as well drink poison tea or hemlock. It would be easier on your system. Because at least it would only be a physical reaction. When you read such things, particularly when they are couched, as we are on the same team and we are all working for the Mother and the Light, it is insidious.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the discernment comes in. When you read a piece of information, when you watch something on TV, when you listen to something on the radio, you think two things. One, according to the change in constancy, is this change contributing to the anchoring of myself, humanity, and Gaia in the higher dimensional realms? Is it of love? We're not talking about even doing an analysis because, dear heart, your societies tend to analyze things to death. We are talking about heart discernment. Does it feel like love? It is a very quick yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
So then do I wish to integrate this information into my being and into the creations that I am bringing forth every moment of every day? And your creations are not simply the piece of beautiful art that you have spent the day on, or the week, or the year on. It is also the creation of a smile in the grocery store, a look, a tender hug for one in pain. Do I wish to bring this tearing down information into my realm and my sacred space? Does this feel like it came from the infinite creation of the mother? Did it come from the highest place of love? If the answer is no, then go back to what you are doing. The same way, if I took you right now and plopped you down in the middle of the worst chaos, say in Egypt, would you immediately start to take sides with the various factions? Would you immediately become involved in their dramas? Or would you stand there as a beacon of truth, simply holding the light so that others could find that sense of calm? I know you, sweet angels, each of you listening and who will listen. You hold the center of calm. You hold the center of peace. You do not vilify any faction, any piece of written material or oral material or visual material. No. Because vilification is not of love. But it is certainly not to your benefit, to your creations, within my creation, to assume that energy into your sacred space.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, and thank you for joining us. I really, really am loving this conversation. So we have a bunch of callers lined up. Shall we go to callers' questions?
I would be pleased to.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. All right. So we're going to start, since you've been waiting so long. Jelena, you are on the air. Are you with us?
Yes. Thank you.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning, Suzanne, Mary, Linda. In this moment of now that we are always some, constant with, and in this moment of change, I think is what I'm saying, what is the best way for us, even though we're anchored in the 5D, as we reach back into the old third, that we can best prepare to move forward by taking care of our physical well-being? And I'm just wondering, I'm not looking at coming from lack, but just I'm looking around at people around me who are not maybe as aware of maybe the changes on all levels. Is there a way we could prepare better to take care of our just physical needs and so forth?
Let us talk about physical for a moment. Because you are talking about physical and the external to your body, but I wish to also speak to you, just for a moment, about the internal physical. Because this, for all of you, is the best place for you to understand the constancy of the law of change. Every moment, your heart is beating, there is oxygen exchange, new cells are being created, some are dying off. There is constant movement in your physical body. And it is creating the new. You may say, well, I don't think it's creating the new, Mother. I feel like I'm getting older. Well, that is a mindset that you are buying into and creating. So I would suggest you change that as well. We have talked about rejuvenation and restoration, but most of you are not internalizing it, and I would encourage you to do so. The physical changes, and what you mean, are in your physical circumstances and your physical environment are also shifting. But what you do to prepare is you put in place, you create both big C, little C, and middle C. You create everyday aspects. That is why I have said pay attention to where you are in your creation flow. You put in place aspects of the physical that you know are going to contribute to where you want to be at the outcome of your creation. Now, there are times in the process of creation when you are in the implementation, the dreaming, the planning, where you will shift what you are creating. And that is all right because you are working with constant change. It will change anyway. Now understand, also, change, and this applies to your physical question, change is also sequenced and sequential. Now what does this mean? Certain things, physical, as well as esoteric or spiritual, have need to be put in place first before other things can be put in place. Use the example of building a house. You do not put on the roof first. No, first you build the foundation. You build the foundation in your communities. You do it by having good neighbors, by sharing with like-minded people. They do not need to be aware of the fullness of what is happening. What they need to be aware of is your love, that you think they are fabulous. And they will live up to that. They will change towards the vision you are holding. Why do they do so? Because what you are saying is, I know what you are. You are a child of creation, of the Mother. And you may do things that you are acting out because of fear or lack or limitation, or simply because you have engaged the darkness of your own being. But I know what you are capable of. I know the truth of you. So you are building that foundation, not only within yourself, but within your community, within your neighborhood, within your family. And you hold that vision. You don't just hold it as something that is amorphous and untouchable, unreachable. You work together to manifest what is joyful, what is pleasurable, what feels solid and dependable and buildable. And from there, you sequence. Well, if we have begun to say hello to each other, acknowledge each other, then perhaps the next point in that sequence is actually trusting each other enough to have a conversation, or perhaps to do something together. You build. That is what you are doing. You don't simply say to your star brothers and sisters, well, bring down Nova Earth. Gaia is not prepared to have simply something laid upon her. You are in co-creation with her. And you are the builders of Nova Earth. You are the bringers of the new way. You are the bringers of the new you. So in this way, you are acting in the physical. So do not say, well, change is imminent, because change is constant. So what do I need to do? Do I need to build up my storage facility of canned goods? Do I need to have money hidden away? Do I need to have reserves of gas? That is not building community. That is putting your head in the sand and saying, I will take care of me and my own. I will not be taken care of by the mother, so I better look out. And that, dear heart, is not acceptable. Is this clear?
Oh, I had to mute you, Jelena. There was some noise. So anyway, thank you for your call.
Thank you, Jelena. Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
Farewell, dear heart.
I appreciate it.
Oops. Okay. Sorry. All right. So area code 704. Are you with us? Hello, hello?
Yes, I am.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I feel pretty comfortable with the process of change. I've had so much of it. Sorry, I've been so engrossed in listening to the last answer, I kind of forgot my question. I was just curious as to how you would advise feeling, continuing to feel safe in change. How about that? I think you've addressed part of it, but I think it's a good question.
It is an important question that you feel safe and secure always. And yes, Linda has addressed this also at the beginning of your conversation about the posting of the archangels, of covering yourself with white light, of coming home to me, dear heart, in the 13th octave, of allowing me to wrap you in my cloak of blue velvet. When you do not feel safe, simply feel me. Put my cloak around you. It will protect you no matter what. But there are situations, particularly as your world is shifting and, as we have said, this turmoil comes to the surface. And the turmoil, sweet angel, can be war in the Middle East or not enough money in your bank account. Both are the same energy. Ask for help. As I say, I would gladly wrap you in my cloak of blue, but I am not simply a mother who desires to dress you. I am also a practical mother. Now, can I wave a magic wand and make everything disappear? Well, in fact, I can. But that is not my plan, so I am not telling you that that is what I will do. I will not. But what I will do and what I promise to you, if you turn to me, if you allow me to embrace you with my energy, you will feel safe and secure. If you allow my mighty ones to surround you, you will feel safe and secure. If you don your suit of light armor, you will feel safe and secure. Now, that does not mean, because you have an open heart, that you will not feel moments, not so much of fear, but of, oh no, that does not belong on this planet and in this sacred environment of Gaia. But I want you to feel that. Because as you feel it, you move into the elimination. So if you say, no, it is not right that I should not have enough money to pay my rent or my medical bills or my telephone bill, that is not what I create in this universe, then you are doing what you need in concert with me to feel safe and secure. Is that clear?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your call. Okay, we are on to area code 657. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hello, you're on here.
Thank you. Mother, I speak to you as angel in form on behalf of the collective of humanity. We asked you on December 21st to bring all of humanity together in ascension with Gaia. Our understanding was that duality separation had expired. Humanity's gift to Gaia was an etheric upgrade to the fifth dimension by our energies and our vibrations. However, we were left to struggle and suffer in the third dimension with understanding that this would come to an end. I'm speaking to you from a linear timeline in the third dimension that has need to be addressed in a direct and compassionate way by you. We have spoken today about what humanity needs to do and their deficiencies. Humanity has cried out for peace and freedom, and that's clearly demonstrated in the people taking to the streets in Turkey and Egypt and Brazil. I want to know, where is your implementation of the promise made to us, your ascension angels and the human collective, to restore us to the fifth dimension and to Nova Gaia? Nearly a year in linear time has passed, and you've been absent. I'm talking about third dimensional gone. We've had, you know, these elite that thought themselves to enslave and control humanity, been placed in containment, and their actions have not changed. Jamie Dimon, in particular, is still stealing homes, and now homelessness has been made a crime. And in South Carolina, if you're homeless, you are put into prison and your children are sent into Child Protective Service. I know that life containment was your first choice, but I suggest to you that it is time to bring some of these home, some of these persons in life containment that cannot embrace and come into alignment with fifth dimensional ascension. So I would like you to speak to the participation, the full and complete participation that we have been promised by the Company of Heaven and the Council of Love and by you. You yourself said that you would be more than willing to come into every living room to implement this change to Nova Gaia.
You would be surprised, sweet angel, how many living rooms I have appeared in and how my presence has been welcomed. Now, you have said that you are stuck in the third dimension, and that is not the reality. Are you dealing with debris of the third?
I didn't say I was stuck. This is where I serve because I serve you.
But you are anchored. Your feet are anchored in the fifth. And it is because of that that you have the clarity of vision to see what is awry and what needs shifting and elimination in the third. Humanity has made this choice, And we are in full participation. It would be erroneous to think that our presence is not with you, because it is. And when these atrocities, such as being homeless, becomes illegal, what you would call a sin, then it comes to the surface so that the absurdity of such situations can be cleared. Because what it really speaks to is attitudes of the human, remaining human collective that sees the lack as something that is acceptable, and it is not.
Well, we have spoken about that before, in particular my daughter who is in prison. I ask you, how many times does she have to be raped and sodomized for it to be enough on the surface for you to do something to help us to end the control of the elite? Because, you know, I am not here to break the law. I am not here to get myself murdered by the police. And I have called upon you for my daughter as well as every man and woman in prison for this to stop. How much? How much more?
You are drifting in and out again. But what we say is every time you do call on me or upon any of us, we are there. Does it mean that there is instantaneous resolution and a shift? Because understand, the change is taking place, whether it is in a financial institution with Jamie Dimon or in a penal institution with your daughter. Both are being changed every single moment of every single day. It is not possible for that not to happen.
Okay, thank you for your call. All right, we have 1 minute left, and I'm on to area code 250. Are you with us?
250, this is me. Hello, this is Fern. Thank you for helping us understand change. I have a question about the heart, the seat of the soul. I want to live from my heart, but I'm not sure how to do it, how to read the chamber of my heart, as Samak Kumara said. So how do I get in touch with my heart?
Really quick.
Place your hands upon your heart and feel as if the energy is draining out of your head into your heart, so that all the energy, all of a sudden, it is almost a feeling, if you are not used to it, that you are feeling faint or lighthearted. All the energy out of your head, all the random thoughts, all the dizziness is just draining down like an elevator going to the basement into your heart, into the depths of your heart.